Okay. What's up, insiders? Good evening. Apologies for last week. We are going to be doubling our efforts for this week to make up for it. As always, our regular scheduled podcast is on Thursday, but Tarkan has some time to join us tonight on this lovely Tuesday evening. And just when you thought we were done with previews, Tark is actually one of the first to break a preview. This has to be a first.
I finally broke a preview. Yeah, I think this is definitely the first. Usually I'm like a week behind. Usually I jump into the chat and I get told to like scroll up or welcome to last week, Tarkan. And yeah, but this time I'm gonna take pride in this one. I'll be calling myself out on this one for a while. Hey everybody, do you remember that Core 20 Chandra? I can be on it sometimes.
It's good to see you, Tark. It's always awesome. I'm so glad you could join us tonight. Yeah, listen, man, we've been doing this a long time. I have to admit, when I saw it earlier today, I actually thought for a moment you broke the story. Like, you actually got the previews. I was like
guess
what,
guys?
I was like,
QS
no way.
Yeah.
I was like, no way. How did this happen? And then I was like, oh, all right,
I wish.
Well, yeah, we just broke it first in Discord. That counts.
That's right. That's right.
So on the docket for tonight, we're like, what, a week into Modern Horizons results. Already some feverish market movement due to Modern Horizons, which is obviously not surprising. And we have Core 2020 previews already. I mean, it's not much, but it does give us at least a little bit of a glimpse into what to expect in terms of some of their design methodology, where that may be going, and some of the themes that may be showing up in Core 2020. And we already, you know, discussed that pretty much immediately as these things go in our Discord. So, in terms of Modern Horizons, Tark, since, you know, over the course of the last week, you've actually been having some really good discussions about distribution, about box pricing. Where, you know, first of all, we'd like to actually kind of recap on some of those discussions and where you're actually at from when we last talked about Modern Horizons.
Yeah, so maybe this is confirmation bias in some way, but so far none of the data has suggested anything against what we had discussed and sort of predicted. I'm seeing a lot of sideboard cards. I'm seeing a couple of breakouts into, you know, main decks and like, you know, Dredge has now just gotten crazier with the Modern Horizon card and Hogok, I think it is. But it's not like the format has suddenly been tipped over its head. It's not like we're seeing five new tier one decks, and nobody expected this to happen. But again, I think the impact on Modern has been stable and healthy, which is what they wanted. But I'm not seeing anything crazy. I don't think that trend is going to change drastically until we have new sets released. So what I think could probably end up happening is that we will see more Modern Horizons cards slowly bleed into the format more and more as new sets are released and people start tinkering with new tools from those sets and those combinations with Modern Horizons, etc. But as for now, it's pretty much what I anticipated. It's a ton of EDH cards, some good sideboard cards, and a couple of new staples, right? So no surprises as far as I'm concerned. And so far the data suggests the same. I think we had Dredge be the breakout deck with Horizons from for the Modern Challenge, and there's still not much data. I totally am aware of that. We still have to see more data come in, but so far nothing crazy. As far as boxes, I'm hearing there's plenty of supply. I heard a rumor that there was maybe one distributor or a couple distributors that were sold out, but as far as I can tell from eBay, there's plenty available at $190. Stores can get plenty overseas, internationally. I had some insiders say that they can still get them perfectly. There's perfectly reasonable amount of supply available in Europe for stores. And so it doesn't seem to be a dearth of supply, which was something that people thought might happen. The big question mark again is going to be, well, what happens when Core 2020 comes in and Modern Horizons is boring in about 2 weeks and people want something else? Well, I think that that's just more of an argument that given the price point of being $200, there's going to be tons of this stuff available for the next 12 to 18 months. I still think that's the case. I don't think the supply valves are going to be cut so low that suddenly out of nowhere we see these boxes go up to $250 by Christmas or anything crazy like that. So yeah, to be completely honest, my position stands as it did, you know, into previews. I think that we're seeing a little bit of impact in Modern, some cool sideboard cards. Obviously, there's tons of casual gold in there, and boxes at $190 and no issues with supply. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, so I normally defer to you when it comes to sealed product. I've said it time and again, I don't normally deal in sealed product. I don't even really follow the pricing. Short of specialty products, I really don't dabble at all. So our good friend Seth, or Saffron Olive, normally posts the EV. I just happened to kind of look at it the other day. I don't normally keep up with them, but you know, I saw that you were having conversations, so I decided to at least, you know, keep myself appraised while, you know, knowing we would talk about it on the podcast. The total box EV, at least from Seth's calculations, have it at around 233, you know, 230-ish, 235, somewhere in that range. The exact total is 233.83 with a pack EV of 650. So, you know, everything you just said, I think, is quantified and confirmed by Seth, at least right now.
I mean, that box EV is going to, I mean, we have release now, right? So we're going to hit peak supply in about, what, 2 to 4 weeks?
No, that's what I'm saying is that, you know, that's what it is right now with more to fall, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to fall, what, 10 to 20%?
Probably.
If not more. Right. So that puts the box EV right around the box prices. So, the thing with this set is that I agree that there's going to be a lot of long-term potential. A lot of cards are going to slowly break out over time. There's going to be a lot of casual gold. There might be new cards that break into Modern, but I don't expect these boxes to be quick flips. And if you're putting $200 into a box, I don't think you're going to be flipping it for 20%+ in 12, I think 18 months minimum, you know, if you're lucky. But probably more. I think probably looking at about 2 years, at least. So I do think there's going to, I think the money's in the singles. I think you should absolutely be picking up when these start going, when, you know, when the singles start dropping and when you get, I think there's so much potential in a lot of the singles that you can almost just cherry pick any card you want for the most part and you'll hit something. But I'm not seeing it in the boxes. I don't see a lot of money to be made in the short term in the boxes.
Yeah. You know,
oh, and I'm sorry, I need to clarify something because Renshank, I was incorrect in the Hogok making it in the, it's not a dredge deck. I mistakenly said dredge. It's that Bridge from Below deck that it's done well in. So I apologize. It's not a dredge deck. I just to clarify that.
All good. I think that's kind of where we're at. Now, to be fair, and, you know, to obviously kind of deeper dive into this, and we always normally give a pretty good view on this, I would say, and, you know, most would agree that it may not, I just kind of want to play devil's advocate of, it may not drop that amount of percentage because things are still in flux. You know, folks don't really know, you know, there are a couple breakout, at least very early, Hogok being one of them. Folks are still, you know, at least on streams, we try to really keep up on that. We're seeing some pretty cool brews. We're seeing a lot of attempts at trying to make Urza a thing. So that's all still in flux. Now, I do think it will kind of align itself back to a median of what you just said earlier in the cast, Tark, of some really important sideboard cards that exist. I'm in the mindset that Force of the Green Force will probably be one of the more important cards, as will Force of Negation, etc. But I think we will go kind of back to that status quo of there's going to be some cool cards that will help archetypes, a lot of cards that should exist and help out in Cyborg, and a lot of what we talked about, you know, this whole time. And we are seeing that. Where I'm kind of leaning towards in terms of Modern Horizons, and we talked about it before, and it's coming up more in chat that, you know, foils are kind of really all over the place. And I think, you know, we have a pretty solid list as to what we feel will be good foil pricing on some of these cards. But we don't really know where a lot of these will end up, right? They're kind of all over the place. And I'm actually more interested in trying to, you know, maybe delve deeper on that in terms of, you know, are foils really the play on any one given Modern Horizon card? Because, you know, these have multi-format appeal in terms of, well, you know, you have them in Modern, less so of an impact in terms of price moving on Legacy and even Vintage, and then a really big indicator in Commander. So I'm getting this kind of vibe of conspiracy where you have these high marquee cards. If we look back on the data points of Queen Marchesa, Leovold, and the mono green Selvala, where you had a very initial high foil pricing, it tapered off a little bit. And then maybe a few months, maybe within, I don't know, 3 months, I think I would have to double check. I can double check while you're talking or retorting. We saw a massive surge on those foil pricing. I mean, I'm talking like $250 Leovold, you know, Queen Marchesa broke triple digits, and now Selvala, a couple years out, broke triple digits. So I'm really interested in the foils of the set. I mean, I know a lot of them started fairly high, but we've already seen some movement where, you know, even I saw like a Eula be priced around like $3-4, and that's like $10 already. So that's where I'm at. I'm really intrigued, and I think we should have at least, you know, keep opening the discussion of what's our real like elite short list of this set. I'd have to think a couple of the marquee mythics. I'm thinking Yawgmoth, some Slivers, you know, Morophon, Urza, and you know, we go from there.
Yeah, I think you're spot on the money with the conspiracy comparison, and we saw what happened with those foils from both Conspiracy 1 and Conspiracy 2. This just kind of reiterates what I'm trying to say about focus on the singles. There's just been always this chatter about the boxes and sealed product with the set. I think that's not, I think the money and the important thing to focus on is the single. And I think the foils are a fantastic play. I think the prices will be over the map. I like Max Phoenix here in chat is saying that by the end of the year, some of them will be crazy. I think that's probably correct. We've seen this happen in the past with foils and from these supplementals like Conspiracy. And yeah, I think we would have to curate, admittedly, this is not something that I thought about before we came into the cast because we just brought it up, but I think we should curate a short list of just really hot, you know, ones to kind of be watching and monitoring. I think the money is going to be in the casual one. The ones that break out in Moderns, when a new Modern Horizon card breaks out in Moderns, obviously the foils are going to go. But I think the safer and easier money is going to be in all these casual foils that are going to be, like you said, $2-3, and then suddenly in a year they're like $6, and you're like, wait, what? And it just creeped up because there's so many good casual cards. Slivers, I think pointing out Slivers is a great call. I would be watching the foils of the Slivers, especially the rare, and seeing where those are. I like that call a lot, just because we saw what happened with Slivers when the set was released. We know the demand is there. So, yeah, I like foils, and I think we should make a list, and I like your call on Slivers.
So just using MTG stock, which actually is kind of interesting, it doesn't go back to when Conspiracy Take the Crown was released. So Conspiracy Take the Crown was released in 2016. Foil pricing, okay, so August. All right, so foil pricing on Leovold, and I'm just using Leovold, started at 100, dipped, you know, a little bit, you know, maybe $80 range, And so that's August, September. By November, we saw $300 foil Leovold. So I don't, you know, we don't have to go super in depth for now. I would actually like to leave that for an insider only cast. But you know, just looking at Leovold, so August around $100, stayed around there, maybe give or take $20. You know, dipped down to 80. By you know November, we're seeing $200 plus. I'm gonna use them. So the market foil didn't get tracked until 2017. But from then on, it was pretty steadily over $200. And that was what, a 3-month time span? Just looking at Queen Marchesa, started at around 80, didn't really take off until 2018. And the same goes for Selvala. So Selvala and Queen Marchesa had a 2-year span of the foils increasing. Leovold had 3 months. So it's an interesting point because I think that will be a very similar comparison to what we're going to see likely with Modern Horizons. And, you know, the release is pretty much the same, right? Same release, same, I mean, maybe a little bit more in terms of the pack pricing. The boxes got insanely cheap for Conspiracy. So there's a little pricing difference in terms of Modern Horizon Conspiracy. But I think that's kind of where I want to be in terms of Modern Horizons is look at those foils. And I think a lot of them, or at least a very couple, maybe upper echelon foils of maybe probably the mythics will have a very short turnaround. And then we'll kind of see the secondary wave of foil increases, but they will be pretty drastic, I think.
Yeah. The reason why I like the comparison is because Conspiracy had far less demand than Modern Horizons is going to be long-term.
Fair, right?
Conspiracy took a lot longer, and so you're going to have more singles and more foils in the marketplace than I believe you will have the Conspiracy ones, but there's going to be a lot more demand for the set in general. So, and the price point is higher, so there's going to be this fine balance. So I think that is a pretty apt comparison when you factor everything in. And I wouldn't be surprised if like you said, the in-demand foils follow us.
Yeah. Well, I think we're at a pretty good spot in terms of Modern Horizons now. We talked about the, you know, really our first kind of look at Modern Horizons in terms of results in Modern. You saw Hogak kind of really be highlighted. And right behind that was like Ranger Captain of Eos. We saw a spattering of Force of Negation. You know, we've seen a little bit, but Hogak really was the highlight. And then I would say pretty much after that is Ranger Captain of Eos. So we'll continue to monitor the results as we go along. Legacy was actually really interesting in terms of how Modern Horizons kind of changed that. There was a lot of... there was a lot of interesting stuff going on in Legacy too. Really cool. But we can leave that for another day. Now, kind of switching gears here.
Actually, Chaz, I have a quick question before we leave Modern Horizons for you.
Yeah.
What about your feelings towards the set from where we were before and now? Has it changed at all? Or are you what's your position?
No, I think I'm where you are, and I've been where I'm at since the beginning. You know, if I were to listen back through the podcasts, I think that's pretty much where I'm staying in terms of how I kind of came away with Modern Horizons. I do think that we will start to see some of the secondary market in terms of the ripples of all this, you know, Commander craziness probably start to pick up here soon. Once folks kind of have physical copies in their hand, but once we get to official paper release, and you know, players go out and start buying all these, you know, cards, I think we'll kind of see a second surge. I think Core 2020 will continue to aid, and we have Commander right around the corner. So I think Commander is really going to be where we're going to see some of the stuff even from Modern Horizons start to really pick up as well. Because that I think is going to be directly linked. So
I totally agree, but
overall, I'm still where I'm at.
I totally agree. And I think out of any supplemental in recent memory, this is the one to constantly be monitoring.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. Absolutely. That being said, we are going to switch gears. We did see some market movement. You know, I can fully well admit that I was not chasing some of these cards, you know, in terms of Hogak. And I love the card. Don't get me wrong. You know, had discussions. Obviously, you know, the group won out there. You have to kind of keep in mind that it I sort of have to be, you know, super cautious, even more cautious than normal, because I do have to keep the entire group in mind. And I can't, you know, at least from my end, I can't really just let this devolve into just another, you know, outlet. And I think a lot of folks respect that. Now, if I do miss cards, you know, in terms of not going super deep on them, I know I had a discussion with an insider, Scott, about Hogak and all that, and it worked out great. And I'm all for that. I want you all like to, you know, come away with this and gain a lot of value, you know, from the game. I'm not here to stifle that, obviously. But just keep in mind that I do have to be a little bit more cautious and, you know, not jump in onto everything in terms of, you know, just chasing certain spikes and stuff, you know, price increases and stuff like that. Now, that being said, I did look and I was very into the kind of the reactionary stuff of Hogak. So Bridge from Below, Vengevine. I even talked about Vengevine before, you know, a week ago. So prior to it even increasing, I already noticed that it was starting to increase. So there was plenty of opportunity there. But yeah, just keep that in mind. Like, I'm okay with being wrong. Like, I think you'll find that I'm pretty humble, and I can admit that. But, you know, we have close to 400 registered users here, and, you know, we have triple digit, you know, in terms of active folks at any one given time, sometimes more, you know, during previews and stuff like that. So you have to kind of just a reminder that, you know, I do kind of look at this somewhat and pump the brakes. At least for everyone else, you know, for everyone's sake, just to kind of push back a little bit. But I want to hear from you, Tark, because you broke today's story.
yeah.
But no, you did not. You didn't personally did not get the preview. I thought about that for a second. I actually thought you, of all people, got a preview, which would actually be pretty crazy, all things considered. But run us through Core 2020, because we got some previews today. I know, it's like we're right back into it.
Yeah, like, so I feel like I'm not a huge fan of this preview cadence where it's just they just perpetual previews and spoilers after another. I just think that they're setting themselves up. I don't know, failure is the wrong word, but it's not a good setup, because, you know, you have to keep up with it, right? And you either run the risk of getting people overly excited and having that expectation all the time, or burning them out. However, all that said, we did get the three Chandras, which I plastered in the previews channel. I have to give credit where credit is due. Was actually broke to me and from the MTG Finance Central Facebook page. That's where I saw it and immediately grabbed it and brought in here for others to check out. These Chandras are awesome, and if this is any indication of what we're getting for 20, I am stoked for this core set, and I think it's going to be even better than Core 19 was. And I personally was a big fan of Core 2019, even though I know a lot of people thought it was kind of whatever. I love that set. These Chandras are amazing. These could be standard, the traditional main standard set releases rather than just core sets releases. So I'm really excited. I posted that given the cards and what they do, there may be some out of the blue hype around elementals. So I I called out the Lorwyn block foils, simply because they're old supply, obviously, foils for casual. And, you know, usually when there's random hype around stuff like this, the foils get hit initially, just because there's always a lower supply of them and casuals are foils. So I do not recommend you just dive in, though. I just commented that they're worth watching. Usually when we have... hold on one second. I apologize for the noise in the background.
No, it's all right.
Usually when we have a, you know, these cards that are, you know, X thing matters around them, then cards that deal with that, oftentimes we'll see something jump. So, hence the elementals and hence that call out. But yeah, man, these are awesome. I love, so basically what's interesting is we have Chandra. They're sort of showing the evolution of her character over the three cards, which is awesome. You have the uncommon, which is her, I think, younger, the character really young, and then the acolyte, which is the rare, and then the mythic, where she's obviously just this crazy powerful planeswalker. That's a great design choice. It's super interesting.
Yeah, I like it too.
And it looks like they're keeping in theme with the uncommon walkers, which is really, really interesting. So I think we should see more uncommon walkers in the set.
Yeah, look, I am going to disagree with you on something, Tark. And this is actually something I said a long time ago. I don't know if you remember, but we had a discussion. I think this is when Magic Arena was still, well, Magic Arena is still in beta, I guess, right? But it was about maybe a few months ago. And I was talking about that Magic, like, as it was kind of starting to break into this, you know, esports or whatever you want to call it, realm, and in terms of being a card game, that I did feel that having consistent information and releases and previews would needed to happen in terms of keeping eyeballs on the game. I don't know, you know, folks may kind of try to follow the more general gaming atmosphere, but you know, I don't follow it too intently, but I at least know this much, that the worst thing for, at least these days, for, you know, gaming IPs and just developers and platforms, etc., is stagnation. You will drop off the face of the planet very quickly these days if your game does not have consistent transparency, communication, and most importantly, content. And I think Wizards is actually doing very well on that front. Surprising as that is. So yeah, I do think that for us as content, you know, for us that look at content and have to, you know, churn out articles and talk about podcasts and, you know, have these like flashcasts and like on the spot, you know, coverage and all this other stuff. Yeah, it can be I'll be the first to tell you it's a pain in the ass. It really is. Especially when, you know, not for nothing. I mean, it's funny, but you know, it was great that you dropped the information. But you know, my class was just starting. You know, and it was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, right? It was like some random, you know, bum time like during the day, and I was like, what? You know, that it's like if it was at least more of like a controlled destruction kind of thing, like where we kind of know when we're getting the information, that would make it at least a little bit easier. So that's just kind of more of a logistics thing from my end. But no, I think that they in some way do need to keep like the constant flow of information happening. And I think at least from what was it last year on, they've been very good about that. And once they started kind of like to recommit themselves and, you know, with Magic Arena and all this happening, they've been very good about that. They really have.
I mean, I agree with you as far as general content, and I think we can see with, you know, the push they have in social media and the push they have in, you know, enabling more content creators online. I definitely agree with you, and I think that's positive. I just don't know about the product release cadence of previews being as back to back. I mean, it's just like when this product just releases, all of a sudden, you know, I don't know. I'm not trying to be old school in that you need months for it to breathe, but I just think a release needs a little bit of time to breathe before you just get people into the next thing. But we'll see. I mean, look, they know that side of things better than I do. It's their product. So I trust that they're doing what they think appears to be best for the market. But I just am kind of weary of that. I just don't know how they're, you know, how that's going to go in the future. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you that you got to stay relevant these days. And they, you know, outside of, you know, being dubious on the product release cadence, I absolutely agree that this big push for content and media has been good.
Yeah. And what's, it's a great comment in chat. What's good for players is good for us on both fronts, really. Yeah, I mean, you're not completely off base here, Tark. I mean, I agree with you in some respect, but I think that's just kind of how we are in today's, like, I guess we can call it this kind of overall gaming phenomena, right? So, you know, and where the industry kind of, you know, went to and where we are as, you know, people. So, you know, it's just interesting, I think. But I think it is kind of necessary. That being said, you are right. I think, so to further add on to your kind of the information that broke today on the Core 2020 stuff, this kind of progression of Chandra is the only progression of uncommon, rare to mythic that we are going to see. Apparently, this set is based around Chandra as the main character, and that is the only kind of progression we are going to see in terms of this, as you said, the character kind of evolving as they, you know, go along, but, you know, Pokemon style, I guess. But it is really interesting, and I do think to some extent there will be a focus on elementals. It just kind of looks that way because, you know, looking at some of the abilities, I think we have to at least consider that there's going to be some elementals in the set, right? So that's one thing. And it's kind of an unrepresented tribe. I mean, it can garner some hype. It's not always a tribe that gets a ton of attention, you know, a few stuff here and there. But, you know, I think our discussion in Discord was pretty much where everyone else may go to. There's only really a couple things I would even want to consider in terms of buying for this, and two of them are lands. So I don't know if there's really that much we can, you know, take away from that, other than maybe we'll see something in the actual set that continues to push that, and we can look at other options. But, you know, I do think our discussions of Primal Beyond, even Flamekin Village, I think was a really good start. But the other thing that I think I took away from this is they seem to be shifting their design philosophy around Planeswalkers. I thought this may have been a one-time thing, the static abilities on Planeswalkers, and it was like a War of the Spark thing. Looks like they're pushing that beyond War of the Spark. I don't know for how much longer, but it looks like they're definitely employing it in Core 2020 because some of these seem really strong. So I don't know where we go from there. I think it's going to be another really cool core set. I'm with you. I really liked Core 2019. Yeah, it might have not like been the most like awesome set in terms of stuff, but there was some really cool stuff, and I think there's still some really cool things to keep considering as we get further and further away from the release, because there was a lot of just really interesting stuff of all different types in that set too.
Yeah, I mean, I actually thought there was going to be less of an emphasis or less Planeswalkers, and maybe there are still. Maybe they're going to do this thing where they, you know, they pick a character and focus on it. But I like the idea that you have a set that kind of is revolved around one walker, and there's a story arc that's represented in the set through that one character, as opposed to having five different Planeswalkers or four or whatnot. So yeah, no, it's super interesting, and I'm just from an card evaluation standpoint, I'm really impressed with these. They're all three of these seem playable in some way, shape, or form. They look really cool. And again, if there's any indication of what we're going to get from Core set, you know, from Core 20, I think this set could end up being quite good.
Yeah, I agree. So to kind of wrap things up here, we talked about Modern Horizons. We talked about, you know, the Core 2020 information. Do we have any questions in the chat? I'll let folks give a few minutes for that. But Tark, where are you at in terms of, you know, are you considering anything? Has anything been catching your eye in terms of, you know, wanting to, you know, something prospective that you're looking at for value? Or are you still just kind of in a wait and see and kind of in a recovery from Modern Horizons? I know I am.
Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously we're just in the heat of release for Modern Horizons, so I'm not buying anything. I love our discussion on foils. I think is great. I think people really need to pay attention to that. I think you should be looking at foils. I love the sliver calls on the foils. I will be watching those in particular. But no, I'm not really buying. I am not buying boxes. I think Chaz has coined the phrase of, I would rather buy Japanese War of the Spark boxes than buy Modern Horizons boxes. And I think that pretty much sums it up nicely. And I would still be buying Japanese War of the Spark boxes rather than Modern Horizons boxes. I just don't think, you know, I just see the fact that I'm seeing everybody all over the place going, well, they're $200 boxes. And once Core 20 comes out, no one's going to care anymore. Sure, that's fine, but that doesn't mean that WotC didn't print plenty and distributors aren't going to want more, and there's still going to be this slow creep of demand as more and more cards get into Modern, and I think that there's going to be a lot of it available, so I'm not buying any boxes. I have a couple of kind of non-Horizons, just a couple of cards that I'm watching in general. Altar of the Brood popped up on stocks. I think it just gained a couple of percentage points, but it's only like I think it's still under $2. I think that's pretty underpriced for a casual hit like that. I think that that's potentially a $5 or $6 card. Another one that is going to rotate soon, which is Hadana Time, which is now about $2. I think that's a future $4 or $5 card.
Sorry, say that one more time.
Hadana's Climb.
So you have Sliver. Oh, let me write these down. So you have Sliver Spire?
No. Altar of the Brood.
Altar of the Brood.
So these are just my non. These are some things that I've been watching. Altar of the Brood from Cons and Hadana's Climb from Exelon Block. I think it's Rivals.
Yep.
Those are two that I've just been watching. I would just stay away from the non-foil Modern Horizon now. Let's just see what happens. Look, the reality is in Discord, you're going to sit there and Hogak is going to blow up and then some other card's going to blow up and you're going to be feeling like FOMO or you're going to be thinking, oh, I could have bought into that. It's always better to go the safe route. If you have something that you feel like you can speculate on, the buy-in isn't too bad and you're, you know, you can pretty much cover your bases through, you know, either selling online or local trading or Facebook groups, something, go for it. But I just wouldn't be going deep on this stuff yet. There's, you know, things will be popping left and right. Who knows what's going to happen? But we have a lot of supply that's going to hit the market. The demand for this set is really high right now. So there's going to be a lot of it open. So, you know, we have two GPs, two. We have a couple of GPs where it's just going to be open to oblivion. So just give it some time and don't get too caught up in the FOMO.
Yeah, I think that's a really good. I mean, it's always good to keep reminding folks of that. Especially, you know, we keep, you know, seeing new folks sign up. We see, you know, our user list is like incredible at this point. I mean, it's always good to at least just keep reminding folks of that. There's always something around the corner. There really is. I mean, I don't know how much more to really say that, but it really is true. It really is true. There was one that we actually brought up in chat that I thought was actually pretty good, but I don't know now specifically. It's not like I don't know if the ship has really sailed on these because I don't know how much these can keep increasing. But it seems like Infect is another archetype that's got a lot of renewed interest, and I'm kind of looking at Ink Moth Nexus, especially. There was a promo version sitting at like $30. Now again, I really don't think there's that much more that can increase. Like I'm just not sure. But it's definitely one to keep an eye on. Like if you've had any extra and you know, you stocked maybe some at some point and you bought them in cheap, I think you're going to see that you could probably out them very soon, if not already, for a pretty good margin there. So that's one that I was looking at. And yeah, I just still think that a lot of Modern Horizons is in flux. So truthfully, I really haven't seen as much that I would like to really go, you know, jump in on since previews. I mean, it was just like complete anarchy. So I'm really kind of just waiting to sell off from that, you know, buy list, anything that I may feel that I don't want to keep holding on to at this point, even though I do think holding is going to be fine, because there's just going to be so much. I just think folks are just going to keep going back to Modern Horizons like a gold mine to keep buying stuff, especially with another commander related product to kind of link up there and just keep driving that interest. But yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff that we talked about in Discord really kind of showed up. I really do like, Inkmaw Nexus. And I still think Force of Vigor is underpriced at $5, as crazy as that sounds. I think it might be the most important card in the set, you know, as we keep going along. And it's like still at $5. So I don't know. It just seems like it may be underpriced to me. Other than that, I have not really delved into too much since then. I know I talked about Karn the Great Creator, like, seems like a couple weeks ago already. I still think it might get the axe in at least one format. So I don't know, like, how much I keep want to riding on that. But, man, it really just seems like Karn and Teferi are the best War of the Spark cards. And they keep selling with pretty good frequency. I don't know if maybe both of them end up at like $20 up each at some point very soon. I don't know. I mean, they're just ridiculous cards, and with so much multi-format appeal, you know, I don't know. I just have this like feeling that they're just going to continue to increase. Also, one that I want to keep on a watch list is Dead of Winter. Now, I know like Snow is a meme and it's like really funny and we all like get a good laugh on it, but the card is just really good on its own, regardless of Snow is good or not. Like, we've seen a few lists now trying to really jam Dead of Winter, and it seems to be working. And it's at like $1.50. And if rares, especially like Hogak, which is a rare, I know it's like the hype of hype right now, but if a rare can jump to 15, you know, that $15, $20 bracket, then I'm sure others can too. At least early on. So I would keep an eye on that. Sure, that I think I'm good. You good, Tark? Any last thoughts here?
Well, I was doing a quick lookup. I think with everything that's going on, we may want to start looking at some reserve list stuff again, and not in the old yes, go buy a reserve list card. But I was I was kind of curious about the Urza's Legacy and Destiny foil. And I really think that any of them that are under $50, which I don't know if there are any, that's what I was actually looking. But any reserve list foil under,
pull that up.
Yeah, if there's any reserve list foil under $50, so I guess in order to see a meaningful markup, you'd want anything that's about $30,
which is
around $35 or less. Reserve list, so Urza's Legacy and Urza's Destiny, just the reserve list.
Urza's Legacy and Urza's Destiny. Okay.
Yeah, and I feel like they might all be there, but any of them, like, I don't know if Powder Keg, let's see what Keg is real quick. If any of them are under $50, they're basically a buy, because most of them are over $50. The majority of them. Yeah, Powder Keg just spiked to $100. So basically, my thesis then is that if the baseline for all of them is 50, so if there's any under $50, they should be, and you should buy them. If $50 is the new baseline, I wouldn't be surprised if these start making their way to 100 sooner than later. That doesn't mean I anticipate a buyout. I'm just saying that with everything that's going on and the reserve list hype being, what, 2 years old now, maybe we're probably looking at within the next 24 months, there might be some movement. And so I think these reserve list foils are really interesting. Similar to my thesis that every reserve list card will be $5 within 10 years, I think that these list foils are probably all going to end up around $100. So I would be looking at those, yeah. Nothing necessarily actionable unless it's under $50, I think it's definitely an actionable. And unfortunately, I don't have all the data in front of me. Most of what I'm seeing is $50.
It really sucks. Hold on. I have to like cross-reference these every single time. So I think the only foils under $50, Tark, are, well, we have one immediately in Weatherseed Treefolk. That's under 50.
So I think that's a buy. If it's at like $30, definitely.
So yeah, we have Weatherseed Treefolk. We have Second Chance just increased. Multani's over 50. I think that might be the only one.
So there you go. Weatherseed Treefolk foils.
Ring of Gix is like legitimately at or around $50.
Yeah, that's like the baseline for like the minimum for like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Weatherseed's like $35. Yeah, Weatherseed's like the only one, at least from Legacy, that's under $50.
I think that's fine. I like that. I mean, 35 to 50 is nice. Yeah, 35 to 50 is perfectly fine. I mean, I guess, let's see, after fees, 10%. Let's see,
now, percent. Destiny, there might not be any in Destiny.
No, I don't know if Destiny has any.
I don't think there's any, Tark.
I thought maybe Powder Keg, but no, that's it. Let
me see. Destiny. It like really sucks because I have to like cross reference these. Yeah, Powder Keg. I mean, are you counting Phyrexian Negator?
If it's reserve list, yeah.
Yeah, Negator's reserve list, but it has that like dual deck printing.
It has a DCI promo too. But.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything under $50 in Destiny. Maybe Covetous Dragon? Let me see.
No, that's like $60, $70.
Jeez. Yeah, then nothing. What about Carnival of Souls? Nope, $50.
Yeah.
Negator's 50. I think there's literally one card, Tark.
Yeah, so I like Weatherseed Treefolk now. For long term, I actually think Carnival of Souls is probably going to be on its way to $75 to $100. It did spike, I think, back during the reserve list. Back like 2 years ago, I think it spiked to $100 and fell back down. I think, because that one's played a lot in casual, I think that one has a good shot at getting back to $100. But Weatherseed Treefolk is an auto buy, in my opinion. And I think the entire set of reserve list foils probably going to be on its way. Long term is going to be on its way to $100.
That is our only set with foil reserve list foils, right? Those are the only two sets? Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. Yeah, I mean, there's a pretty big disparity, though. I mean, when you think about it.
Well, this goes back to my point that once the reserve list buyouts happens, when attention was brought into the cat was out the bag. It's no longer this little area you can just kind of no. It's inevitable that the reserve list is going to get hit again. Inevitable. It's too many people know about it. Too many people had success last time. It is what it is. So. Yeah.
I agree.
I would expect that within 24 months, we'll see some kind of movement on the results. I'm not going to say it's going to be like it was before.
I think it's going to be sooner.
Yeah. So, I would say these foils are easy targets to reset all the prices to $100. Some of them already are, but, you know, the ones that are, you know, around $50. So
if the baseline is 50, where do you see, like, a metal worker foil ending up? Sitting at like, we'll just say like $600.
Well, Metalworker 600. I would say a metal probably, you know, get up to like $800.
You're probably right.
I think when the buyout happened, there were people trying to sell like hype, you know, buyout prices, but
yeah, I think
people were trying to get away with it. So.
Yeah, I think normal prices are all going to jump back up too.
Well, that's a whole other. We can have that.
Yeah. we can wrap it up there. We're just under an hour. I think we're at a really sweet, you know, really, really good point here. You know, short and sweet. That's where we like to keep it, under an hour or at about an hour. And that's where we're at. Do we have one question? Are Judge Foil creators more scarce than UDL rares like Metalworker? I would. That's a good question. My gut tells me yes. My gut tells me yeah.
I think they're less in demand, though. People
Judge Foil cradles are less in demand?
Oh, Judge Foil. I'm sorry. I thought there was a different question about Judge Foil Reserve list cards in general, but Judge Foil cradles. Yeah, there are fewer Judge Foil cradles than there are
Metal Workers, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I do think that's not out of the question, though. Metal Worker foils hitting like the $800 to $1,000 mark, as like really crazy as that sounds.
Well, and keep in mind, like, you know, I'm talking about a readjustment across the, particularly in the foils we're talking about. And again, not to dive into this, but
yeah.
You know, if you know, Rising Tide generally raises all ships, you can expect other unique items. Like, if Cradle goes up, Cradle foils are going to go up. Versus, if Metalworker goes up, wouldn't be too surprising, depending on the spread difference, for Judge Cradles to kind of see gains. But there are definitely fewer Judge Cradles.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely less.
Yeah.
But great question. I think we'll end it on that note. Tark, awesome stuff, as always. I think it was a great cast. I will recap it. I should have this up by later tonight. If not, tomorrow, for sure. I like to upload them very timely, and as immediate as I can. But yeah, that's going to wrap it up for today. Our other cast will be on Thursday as scheduled. So, folks, thanks for joining us. Tark, have a good one, bud.
Awesome. See you guys
later.